One day, this planet is going to fall under God's judgment, but not for those who have humbled themselves to the Lord, as we hear from Mike McIntosh.
And these letters to the church are leading up to the suffering of the world in judgment, of what he took on the cross for, at the time, Israel. And then Paul, in the book of Acts, took it to us Gentiles. And isn't it interesting? Leading up to the great tribulation is a church that he has some things to say. It's not going correctly. I have a few things I want to talk to you about. And we need to be humble about that and let him talk to us.
And I'll stand up and shout, and I'll praise you, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and sing, and I'll thank you, Lord Jesus.
Today on Chapter and Verse Radio, we continue in the second chapter of Revelation for a study that reminds us that nothing is more important in the Christian life than preparing for the return of Jesus Christ. The letter to the church at Pergamos is the title and topic of our message, and we have a lot of vital information to cover. So let's get right to our study. Please turn to Revelation chapter 2 as we join our teacher, Mike McIntosh.
You know, wisdom from above, James says, is first pure. And then it's gentle, and it's full of the fruits of righteousness, and it's easy to be entreated. There's no hypocrisy in it at all. But so many times as Christians, we aren't gentle, and we do have hypocrisy. And it's not easy to be entreated when we start doing our thing. So just keep the balance. So this is him who has this two-edged sword. And then the second one is in the sixth chapter. And this is in Ephesians. And this is one that you now know you can have that sword and how powerful it is. But this, most Christians don't know. It's verse 10, and it's the sixth chapter. And it goes down to verse 18. Finally, he's given instruction. That's the professor saying at the blackboard. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Okay, I don't want to be weak in the Lord. Strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Not strong in myself, though I work out, but not strong in the power of my might, but his. I want you to look at that. Because I'm getting to know some of you men, and you're strong men. And you've had your share of battles, I'm sure. Remember, it's the Lord from this day on. It's no longer you and me. Be strong in him and in his power. And then what? Step two. Put on the whole armor of God. Now stop. He didn't say put on some armor of God, pieces of the armor of God, a few things of the armor of God. What did he say? Whole armor of God. Very important. You never want to go to spiritual battle with just pieces. You're going to get beat up. And what is it? The reason you put on this armor, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. His cleverness, his lies, his trickiness, his slyness. The reason you put it on is you're able now with that armor to stand against him no matter what he throws. Then he tells you, that's why. Now he tells you what the battle is. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So it's not like getting in an argument with another person. And notice wrestle. Not box. Not martial arts. It's wrestle. It's not, you know, in combat with an automatic weapon or you're going to have a knife and come up behind somebody. It's wrestle. You ever feel like you're just in turmoil and you're wrestling? That's what he's talking about. The everyday battles that you and I struggle with, the devil sneaks up, we're off balance, he grabs a hold of us, flips us upside down, spins us around, and we don't know what's going on. It's just another bad day. And so we'd go smoke a joint. We'd go drink a beer. We'd whatever. No, it's a hand-to-hand situation. We're wrestling. And I don't know if you wrestled, but I wrestled in high school, and I knew I always liked to say, if the guy ahead of me or two weights ahead of me wasn't available, I go to the coach and say, I'll fight that guy. And I like to take the challenge of somebody bigger. I got knocked out more than one time in concussions. But then I ended up always pinning those guys because I had to go back in and show I could do it because my mom was in the stands. And when moms are around, their boys like to show them. So you're not wrestling against people. It's beyond that. But against principalities, so power structures. The water company is a principality. The electric company is a principality. This whole county is full of principalities that make up the county, that make up the state, that make up the federal government. It's stacked to the stoplights and to the traffic cop principalities. They're all around you. So you can now win against powers that you can't see. Against the rulers, the guys in charge of the darkness of this world. You say it's the drug dealer. No, it's a principality and power and ruler of the drugs. He's just got a kingpin that he's making a billionaire, and he doesn't care that he sold his soul and is killing 100,000 kids with drugs. You know, two a day are dying in San Diego. It's actually more than two. The news says two, but I know the medical examiner. Two a day are dying from fentanyl in San Diego every day. Nobody's doing anything about it. It's just sad. Very, very sad. It's powers, rulers of the darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what you're battling, and you can't see in the spirit. And you can't get up to those places, but they're coming down on you. So you put this armor of God on, and now you're able to stand. I used to fall for everything until I became a Christian man and started acting like one. Wherefore, and he tells us the armor. Take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. Now, maybe during the Roman Empire and Sodom and Gomorrah, this was super important. But in the streets, in the bedrooms, in the motels, in the hotels, in the schools of America, it's even more so. The loins are not guarded with truth. You're not a man, you're a woman. You're not a woman, you're a man. What comes from your loins but regeneration and life? And so if you're not protected with truth, you're going to get venereal disease. You're going to get sick. You're going to get HIV. You're going to get all sorts of things because you are girded with lies around your loins. And people do things that are unseemly and wicked because they don't have truth guarding their loins. Do I make myself clear? So you've got to be careful of how subtly the wickedness is that God has given you protection for everything. And you put this armor on, and you're not going to believe that commercial on television. And when you see those two people of the same sex kissing and selling you that product, you know, you've got to make a decision. Is there truth in your loins, or are you selling out? So he protects the loins, and there's no doubt that he made them male and female, and the two shall no longer be two, but become one flesh. Gird about with truth, having the breastplate covering your chest of righteousness. Now, not our own righteousness, but the righteousness of Jesus. It protects your heart, your vital organs, your intestines, your colon, everything that's behind your ribs that are protected by those bones. You now have a breastplate of righteousness, and he says that you can take the whole armor, withstand. Loins with truth, breastplate, righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You're able to walk anywhere, jog, run, ride a motorbike, skip, ski, get on a jet ski, however you want to get there, but your feet are prepared with the gospel. And wherever you go, those feet take you to people and places. And any place that you are, and there's people, you're the ambassador for that group. So start reaching out more than you have ever reached out before. Your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith. Well, I've got my breastplate, but now I've got a shield, and it's of faith. Wherewith you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now, when we think of a shield, we usually think of a short, round one like Superman, or not Superman, Mr. America, whatever that guy's name is. He's got this round thing and all the sparks come shooting off of it. But the Roman legion soldiers had an oblong shield that came all the way down so that the fiery darts of the enemies that would dip their arrow into the oil and light it, and they would shoot you, it would catch your tunic or your blouse on fire. You'd be trying to put that out. In the meantime, you're getting shot four or five times by different people. But that'll burn your skin. You're in a lot of trouble. But the shield of faith allows all the fiery darts of the devil that you don't even think about to be blocked from puncturing you and making you fall or stumble or go backwards. Does that make sense? Okay, so this is why he's given us this armor, and I want you to memorize it and remember it. And then take the helmet of salvation. So now you cover your head. Every part of you is protected. And you'll notice in the movies, the old movies of the Romans and gladiator guys in the arenas, their ears were covered. So now you're protecting the lies that are coming in from radio and television and music. And you're protecting your brain, your skull, your eyeballs, your nostrils, your breathing apparatus. You've got the helmet of salvation, and then whoosh, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God. This thing is so quick and powerful. When I was a very young Christian, I was in Hollywood, and I was meeting different people, helping to set up Maranatha Music, and I was told this guy was a Christian, and he was on Sunset Boulevard above the Playboy Club. I forget his name, and he was very important. I mean, he let me know he was very important, and I was just a bum. I had a 61 Plymouth Valiant I paid $65 for. Second gear was missing, so to get on the freeways in Orange County to drive to Los Angeles, I had to put it in low, go as fast as I could, get up to the freeway, off the ramp, up into second, down into third. The top of the ceiling was falling down, so when I got out, I had to brush all the rubber stuff that was up there in the ceiling off. And I'd walk in sometimes these fancy offices in Sunset Boulevard and wiping stuff off, and they thought I was diseased or something. But this man was sitting almost as far as the back wall. And I was sitting on the couch looking this way, talking to him that way. And I thought, boy, he really thinks he's important. Then anybody comes in, he's the boss. So I said, he was just telling me, if we gave him Maranatha Music to distribute, here's what he'd do for us. And so I said, do you happen to have a Bible? And he said, well, that's strange. Yes, I think there's one in the bookcase right there by you. So I went over to his bookcase and I looked around. There's a brand new Bible. Never been opened before. You could tell the pages are all stuck together. And I took it to him, walked down, and said, would you open up Psalm 75, verse 5 and 6? And he said, okay. And I went and sat back down. He said, what was that? And I said, Psalm 75, verse 5 and 6. And he said, would you read it to me? He said, yeah, I'll read that to you. Let me see here. Promotion comes neither from the east, nor the south, nor the west, but the Lord God, he raises up one man and takes down another. And he stopped and he looked at that and he says, oh, that's a good promotion verse. I said, really? He missed the whole thing. Don't miss the whole thing. When you go into battle and you go into the world, have your armor on. So you're not distracted. You're coming in as an ambassador of Jesus Christ. So I told him we'd think about it. And by the time I got to the elevator, I'd thought about it. He wasn't the person. But God lifts us up. God takes us down. We want what God wants, right? And praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit. That's part of your armor. Watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance would be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of God. He that has that two-edged sword, Don't ever forget the sword. I just gave a friend a copy of a book I wrote called Falling in Love with God, with the Bible, rather. I wouldn't fall in love with prayer, fall in love with the Bible. The publisher would not do falling in love with the Holy Spirit or falling in love with evangelism. And I said, why not? He said, because it doesn't sell in the church. Also, we're controlled from the outside of what sells. Huh. You don't want to be trapped in that system. You want this book to flood your heart every day and go by it, not by man's little systems that he has set up. I know your works. I know your dwelling place, and God knows where you live. I know your faithfulness. That's a positive. Faithfulness to Jesus' name. But I have a few things against you. I wrote down here, wow, I have a multitude of things. He only had a few. In Ephesus only had one thing. They left their first love. This one has several. They had the doctrine of Balaam. And David Guzik says, this doctrine of Balaam was a prototype of all corrupt teachers, stumbling blocks connected with idolatry and sexual immorality being accepted. It's a strange time when Rome opened sexuality to the masses and they said, go for it, whatever you want. But Washington, D.C. and Sacramento, California has done worse than Romans have ever done. And we're going to pay for it. And the judgment is coming soon. A few things. Well, in verse 15, he says, but you hate the Nicolaitans. And the Nicolaitans is two words, Nico, which means over, and laity, which means the people. It literally means to conquer the people. And so the church in the early days learned to make structures and give ranks of bishops and popes and priests and all the way down in different uniforms, that when you and I went to church, they would speak in Latin. We didn't have a word what they're saying, and they're burning the incense, and we don't know what that means. We don't know all the hocus pocus, and they have the idols on the wall and stained glass windows, and we're all distracted, and it's nothing about the simplicity of Jesus died for me and loves me. And that's your secret. You know Jesus died for you, don't you? Amen. Yeah? Amen. Jesus died for us. And he loves us. So they had this. They didn't want a structure over the people. So what do you do if you have these problems? Well, you repent. That's what Jesus said. They were rewarded for repenting and hearing the truth and being forgiven. And your reward is your sins are forgiven. And then we see this church of Thyatira. And I think we're going to stop right there. We're going to take a moment for our hearts just to settle in and think about the armor of God and think about the power of his word and how it can be used in our lives with some of the most difficult things you face. It may be your family members. It may be money. It could be a million different things for a million different people. But when we take communion, we take of the bread, which reminds us of the body of Jesus that was crucified on the cross for us. In Isaiah 52, it describes about 750 years before Jesus went to the cross, what he went through. His beard was plucked out with chunks of flesh taken. Now, you're a pretty good sized guy. I don't know how I'm going to pull your beard out and get some flesh. Maybe just some scissors, snip a little off. Okay. But just imagine that, if your beard being, but then the flesh came with it. The head was plated, meaning jammed down. On top of his head was the crown of thorns. And there's a place off of Freeway 8 going to El Centro. There's a cutoff. And you come down out of the mountains of San Diego, and you're about 30 miles from El Centro, but there's a cutoff to go to Calexico and to go to Mexicali. And about a mile or so, if you turn right and go into that canyon, you'll find the same bushes that are over in the Middle East that were used for Jesus. Apparently, the only two places in the world, for whatever reason, I don't know. But they're an inch and a half to 2 inches. That wasn't just some little sticker bush on his head. Your head has more capillaries right there than any other one place. And so it doesn't take much. I was in a car accident and was knocked unconscious. And when they pried me out of the car, my white shirt was covered with blood, my hands, my face. And they got me to the hospital. And when I woke up, the doc said, "You're okay, you just had to have 6 or 7 stitches." "Why?" He said, "Because your capillaries, you just broke capillaries when you hit the windshield." And can you imagine the blood just pouring out and coming down his breath into his mouth, his chin, his neck, and just pouring down? Then at the same time, he's got a spike in both of his hands, and his muscles are stretched. His pectoral muscles, his biceps, his triceps, his forearms, his wrists, everything is stretched to the max. They had a little piece of wood at the bottom that the prisoner would cross his feet and a spike would go through the feet into that wood. And he would have his legs bent. Now, if it's an older guy and he's got bad knees, he's feeling a lot of pain right there. But that bent knee lets a little breath come up into the lungs once in a while. He couldn't breathe. And yet, he says, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." He said that about you and me. "I never knew what I was doing until I met him." But he was doing that. And then with a loud voice, he shouted out, "It is finished." He completed the work for you that you'll never die. And all of your sin is forgiven, past, present, or future. But you must repent of your sin. And then just say, "Oh, I'm so sorry." No, you turn from your sin and go the other direction and leave it behind. That was so much love pouring out in so much pain. And these letters to the church are leading up to the suffering of the world in judgment of what he took on the cross for, at the time, Israel. And then Paul in the book of Acts took it to us Gentiles. And isn't it interesting? Leading up to the great tribulation is a church that he has some things to say. It's not going correctly. I have a few things I want to talk to you about. And we need to be humble about that and let him talk to us. So in our next session, we're going to look at that church of Thyatira. There's only 11 verses. It's very short in this letter. And it is often called the corrupt church. And some churches are very corrupt. And others just have a problem or two. But we want to be a loving church of the Word of God and let the Spirit move. We can't control Him. And if we just sit back and relax and let Him flow, He'll do great and mighty things way beyond what we'll ever think or imagine at all, ever. So let's stand and bow our hearts and prepare our souls for the communion of the bread. And when the wine comes, or the grape juice, it reminds us of the actual blood that came out of his hands and his head and his back. And don't ever forget that back. The Romans had a cat of 9 tails. It was a rod with 9 strips of leather, and on the tip of the leather was bone or metal. So that when your back got whipped, it was like a cat's claw ripping across the back. I read stories from history that some men would pass out and die with just 10 hits. Jesus took way more than 10 for you and me. And it clawed in. And it had to expose his spine and his cord, spinal cord, and the spinal fluid leaking out, which is an extremely painful situation. And that's happening with all the agony in his back. He's seeing his mother, his disciples. He's seeing the crowds. And he's seeing his Father in heaven, that "I give my spirit into your hands." And that's where you and I want to be, is in his hands. Right? Not in Christianity's hands. We want to be in his hands. We want a personal relationship with the living God. It's not a head relationship. It's real, and it's very exciting.
Those are the closing thoughts from the teaching, The Letter to the Church at Pergamos. Persecution and pressure has faced the church on earth from its earliest days and will continue to the very end. Remember, Jesus did not promise that following him would be easy, but he did make it clear that great rewards await those who are faithful in this life. Well, if you need to make some real steps to ordering your life according to God's principles and giving in to him, let me suggest that you check in at MikeMacintosh.com and click on the Know God link, where you'll find additional insights and resources there to help you. The address is MikeMacintosh.com and look under Know God. This is also the website that you can use to listen to nearly the entire Bible taught by Pastor Mike. Again, check in at MikeMacintosh.com. Join us Wednesday as we continue our series through Revelation. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.